good singing for the first one. So we're going to sing hymn number 116 in the hymn books. 116. Low in a grave he lay, Jesus my Saviour, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Next one we're going to sing 304 in the hymn books. 304, we are never, never weary of the grand old song, glory to God, hallelujah. We'll sing verses 1 and 2 of 304.
Thank you.
up now. So 474, 474. We'll sing just verses 1 and 2 again. 474. I'd like to thank our brother Mark McClintock for leading the hymn singing so far. He is a member of the Youth Council, has been for quite a number of years and organised many an outreach over that time. We are going to stand for officially our opening hymn tonight, which is the famous hymn, How Great Thou Art. We're all very aware how Ukraine has been dominating the news for 50 days and more now. And so in this hymn, we're going to sing one that had its origins in Ukraine some decades ago. Stuart Hine would have served in the British Army during the First World War. Then he became a missionary to Russia and went into the neighbouring country, Ukraine. While he was ministering in Ukraine, he and his wife came across the Russian version of a poem that had been written by a Swede, getting confused already, I'm sure, Carl Boberg. And Hine wrote the words that we recognise today that would be in our hymn book, and he made his own arrangement of the Swedish melody. What he also did was he added two verses. We have four verses in our hymn book. We're singing five tonight, and we're dropping one of the ones out of our own hymn book and putting in two additional verses that Stuart Hine would have used back then. So please, let's be standing up singing, and let's sound it out from the opening lines here, How Great Thou Art.
Thank you. Now we're going to go away down to the fishing village of Portavogie and call in their minister, first of all, Reverend Samuel Murray. He's going to open the meeting tonight in prayer. And then, immediately after that, Miss Charlotte Kaki will be coming and she'll be singing a couple of pieces to us tonight.
Let us seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, we praise thy holy name that we can enter into thy presence in and through the shed blood of the Lamb. We thank thee tonight that we can say, those of us who are saved, that Christ is altogether lovely. We come into the presence of the one who is great. We have been singing, Lord, repeatedly, how great thou art. And Lord, I pray that even in our souls this evening, we will come to realize in a greater fashion how great the Lord is. Heavenly Father, we have been singing about the death of Christ on the cross. And on this Good Friday, how we praise thee that the Son of God left the splendors of heaven and came down to this sin-cursed earth to be our Savior. And he shed his precious blood, the Lamb without blemish, that we might be redeemed from the curse of the law. How great thou art. And Father in heaven, as we meditate upon the presence of Christ with his people, the way that thou dost look after us and guide us and direct us and assist us and strengthen us and encourage us when we are discouraged, we have to say again how great thou art. Lord, we'll never be able to understand the greatness of the Lord, but teach us something of that tonight. I pray, loving Father, that thou wilt accept of our thanks for being able to assemble like this. We thank thee, Lord, that the Free Church has been able to meet again on Good Friday and hold this service. I thank thee, Lord, as we look around the congregation for each and every one assembled, especially the young people. Oh, Lord, we thank thee for them and for the adults too and the elderly. We're glad that the people of God are able to assemble in this fashion. And we pray that the blessing of God will fall upon us tonight. May the blessing of God fall upon the Free Presbyterian Church. Lord, keep us united. When we are united, we will know the blessing. And we pray, Lord, that we'll be a people who will be looking to the Lord for the days that lie ahead. Lord, may this service even have a major impact on the future work of the Free Church. I thank thee, Lord, for the many times as a young person I sat here on Good Friday and how the Holy Spirit spoke and he worked, and from seat to seat and heart to heart there was a calling of many young people to go and serve the Lord. We long tonight that thy Holy Spirit would come to this house and work individually and personally in the hearts of all assembled, that we might go home with a burden to tell others of the great things that the Lord hath done for us. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember all who participate tonight, thy servant who will lead this service, Charlotte, as she comes to sing now in a moment or two. Bless her and use her in thy service. Encourage her heart. Take away nerves and fear, and may the Lord be glorified tonight in this house. We pray that thou wilt bless our brother Colin as he speaks to us. Bless our brother Paul. We pray that the video presentations and reports will touch hearts as well. Thou art able to use these as well as thy servants who will speak. And then, Lord, we pray for the Reverend Harris. We thank thee, Lord, for the work that he does in the mission board. We pray that even as a result of this service, there will be young people who will say, "Here am I, Lord. Send me. May we be able to sing, "Where he may lead me, I will go," and may we mean every single word of it. Call young people out. Lord, we know there are some vacancies in the field. Maybe someone will feel the touch of God tonight to go. May the Holy Spirit direct them, lead them, and guide them. Lord, we would say to thee, we're looking forward to this meeting. We want thee to be in the midst. We want God to have all the glory, Christ to be uplifted, and the people of God go home rejoicing. And if there's an unsaved person in this house tonight, bring them to Christ. Bring them to the foot of the old rugged cross. May they taste and see, before they leave this place tonight, that the Lord is good. So, Heavenly Father, we leave the meeting with thee. It is thy house. It's thy glory that's at stake. So come among us, Lord, and lift up thy great name. We pray these things in the Saviour's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen.
I just want to thank you for the invitation to be here tonight, and the first song I'm going to sing is When I Survey, and it'll hopefully bring us to the cross, and I pray that the words will speak to someone tonight. my soul, my life, my all. Is mine that he who dwells in endless light called through the night to find my distant soul, and from his scars poured mercy that would plead for me that I might live and in his name be known. So I will go wherever he is calling me. I lose my life to find my life in him. My Savior lives and reigns forevermore. So I will go wherever he is calling me. I lose my life to find my life in him.
Well, the very good news is that Charlotte will be singing later on in the meeting tonight. I really enjoyed that, and I'm sure I'm speaking on your behalf as well. So thank you very much, and to Reverend Murray for leading in prayer. We'd like to welcome you along to the Easter Convention of 2022, and it is so glad to be back again, where you can sit beside one another, sing together, and that initial singing before the service and the first hymn was very soul-stirring and very enjoyable. And be able to meet our friends again. I know there's no supper, so there's no kind of interaction over that period, but still, you can chat on your way out and all the rest of it. I'm sure the car park won't be emptied too quickly tonight. But you're all very welcome. We'll not do the way they used to do it in the Easter Convention and ask, well, where are you from and where are you from? And right through until we had virtually every church represented. There is a wide representation of churches. I know from phone calls I got this morning, people were coming in from Enniskillen, there we have Portavogie, Ballymena, Ballymoney. I can see people dotted around from the variety of churches here today. Now, I was asked a question again and again this morning, how many do you think will be here? Impossible to answer. But if I had 20p for every time I was asked the question, I probably could buy something in Poundland, because even the prices in Poundland have gone up now. You go and try to buy something, it used to be a pound, and it's a pound no longer. It's way up beyond that. I saw them, they had eye drops yesterday. And I picked them up thinking, they're beside my famous cheap £1 eye drops. Brought them to the till, there were no markers on them. £4.25 in Poundland. It was enough to induce a partial heart attack. I was thinking, right, I don't want to look an absolute cheapskate. I'll take them, but I'll not be going back for any more. That's for sure. When they're done, and that is that. Friday night in the convention is the night when we have two main points of focus, and we've tried to run these in tandem and parallel lines for a number of years now, and that's the youth work and also the missionary work of our Free Presbyterian denomination. So we're going to have now the youth work section, and we have a report on the work of the Youth Council, and we have a couple of testimonials of two young people who have been serving in various ventures the Youth Council have organised and have known great blessing as a result of that. So let me welcome Alison Brown from Macrofelt, Daniel Burke from Margaret Hill, and then Reverend Paul Foster, the current president of the Youth Council, will be bringing a report after Alison and Daniel have spoken. Thank you.
I just want to give you a brief insight into a number of events organised by the Youth Council. These are events that I have personally been involved in, and so I hope this first-hand account gives you a flavour of what it's like to come along and be a part of these events. Firstly, I'd like to mention my main highlights of the year, which is the Castlewellan Young Adults Retreat. It takes place over the May Day Bank Holiday weekend, with around 60 young people attending. It's a time of fun and fellowship and meeting new young people, where we have the opportunity to build each other up in the faith. Last year, I enjoyed the icebreakers and the team sports on the Saturday, along with the games and quizzes over the course of the weekend. I also enjoyed the teaching we received from the leaders during the devotional times on subjects such as the local church, what our roles and responsibilities must be here, and serving the Lord in our local church. It was a real blessing to sit under this teaching, as it was a great spiritual challenge to me. And I came away from the weekend with a real desire to do more for God. I honestly couldn't recommend a better way to spend the bank holiday weekend, so get your applications in for this May coming. Another very well-attended event is the bi-monthly Bible study, which is an informal and interactive meeting where we consider many important issues that we as young people are faced with more and more. The topics are open for discussion among smaller groups at various times throughout the study session, and light refreshments are available during this. I have been truly blessed through these studies, and it has been so beneficial searching through the Bible and seeing for myself where we find the biblical instruction about where we stand with regards to these issues and how to approach them. Previous issues that we have discussed were the LGBTQ+ culture, relationships, baptism, and evangelism. I would urge you to come along to this Bible study if you've never been, because it is so important that we are equipped with references from the Bible to be ready when we are confronted with these things that I just listed there. I'm sure we can all agree we feel bombarded with so much evil which the world calls good, and so it is imperative that we become familiar with our Bible so that we can have the answers ready to tackle these issues when they arise. I also attended the training weekend at the Faith Mission Centre in Portadown during March. The weekend was quite flexible in that you could arrive on the Friday evening and stay over, or you could just land up for the lectures on Saturday and stay on from then or return home depending on your availability. The subjects that were covered include the reliability of the Bible, advantages of evangelising within a presbytery structure, preparing messages for children, and many more. You might think that listening to lectures all day on a Saturday would just make the day drag, but it was quite the contrary for me and the ones sitting next to me. We all found the lecture sessions just flew. I really enjoyed the content being taught in each subject. I couldn't write fast enough to keep up with the lecturer's notes. The topics were just so relevant. I would really recommend saving the date for this weekend next year. It was just so encouraging to learn and be trained alongside other fellow Christians with the same goal and burden to get involved in God's work and to see souls won for the kingdom. Whether you are already involved in your local church or you're thinking of becoming involved, I believe that the training weekend will be a fantastic opportunity for you to get to know other young people and learn from the lecturers. It is most definitely the best stepping stone in the direction of serving the Lord. Now that most of the church events are up and running at their usual capacity, I urge every young person here to seize this opportunity, as we can't be sure that they will always be available, but we hope and pray that they will be. So I encourage every young person here to involve themselves in these Youth Council events and just pray that God will teach you many things through these efforts for God's glory. Thank you.
Just before I give this report, I'd just like to read three well-known verses from Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. And it says this, it's the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. If I had to use one word to describe the work of the Youth Council, I would probably choose the word evangelism. Whether that be to describe the days of outreach, the training weekend, or even the informal Bible study. To me, it's very fitting because the Youth Council's mission statement, as most people will know, is to extend Christ's kingdom and to develop Christian character among our youth. The theme of the events that I've been at certainly always seemed to be geared towards evangelism. And I've been asked tonight just to give a wee report and to share how I've been blessed through the work of the Youth Council. And I would say it's been a blessing because the Lord has encouraged me to get involved in my local area and in my local church concerning evangelism. And the event that I would just like to outline tonight are the days of outreach that happened in the past year or two. There was two churches that allowed us, hosted us in doing these days of outreach. One of them was in John Knox Memorial Church, and the other was in Dunmurry Free Church. And that's when we did outreach in the Shankill and in the Seymour Estate. And both of these events took on a similar programme. It involved meeting there around 10 o'clock, and then when we had times of devotions, and then we had a time of prayer. And I can truly say that I was blessed because I met other Christians that I can say genuinely loved the Lord, and you could just see it. They could see how they loved God's word. You could see how they loved the place of prayer, and that's one way that I was blessed. And truly that verse in Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So yes, I could see this love for the Saviour, and that encouraged me, I have to say. And so after this time of devotion and prayer, we then moved into the surrounding area, and we were going to the doors, and we were knocking doors, And again, this was a daunting experience, I have to say the least, but because many of us were doing this for the first time, but I can say that the Lord give help. And maybe there's a young person in here tonight, and maybe you could say, I could never knock a door, I could never speak a wee word in the open air. But I can trust you, I can say tonight that there's other young people that said the same, but the Lord give them help, the Lord give them grace, and we truly praise the Lord for that. And if we'd have a prayer request, it would be that God would work in the lives of people that we knock the doors of, that people would be ready to receive the word of God. And that's what we did in the morning. What happened after that was we went and had lunch in the two churches, and then we came back and did an open air. And again, I repeat, this was not something that most of us were used to, but we can say again that the Lord give grace, that his grace was sufficient for us despite our weakness, and the Lord did undertake. And some young men got the opportunity to speak in the open air just for about 5 minutes or so, nothing long, no half-hour sermon in the open air. And it was just nice just to get an opportunity. And even the girls got an opportunity to testify and to tell what God has done in their life. And while one person was speaking at the mic, the rest of us, we were around the surrounding areas and we were given the tracts out. And I can say overall, yes, this day of outreach was a blessing to me. And I can say it was a blessing because of the good fellowship, because it gave me an opportunity to serve the Lord in an organised manner under a church in there in Dunmurry, and also in John Knox there in the Shankill. But I can say that it was also a challenge to me, because as you go around the doors, as you even do open airs, you see the darkness. You see, even in Protestant areas, so many don't have a care or concern about eternal things, and that would have to burden us. And I would encourage you, especially the young people, to get involved, especially in these days of outreach. They're an opportunity to serve the Lord, an opportunity to witness. And I would encourage you, if you're thinking about it, that you would spend time in God's word, that you would immerse yourself in the scriptures and in prayer, and then that you would have a heart that's full of worship. And then having a heart full of worship, then you'll then serve the Lord. And again, I repeat, if you might think, again, I couldn't do that, but the Lord, give it a go, and the Lord will do much more than maybe you'd would expect. And that's basically all I have to give, but thanks very much.
I would like to thank the organisers of these convention services for the opportunity for me to bring a report this evening. And I'd also like to thank Alison and David for bringing their reports as well. I want to bring my report by means of an object lesson, because I have with me this evening a match. And whenever you look at a match, it can be described as that which is insignificant. One, because it's small. Two, because it's cheap, costs way less than a penny. And also because there's many of them in the world. However, while a match may seem insignificant, yet a match can be used in a very significant way, far beyond itself. For example, you think of how one little match can bring joy as it lights up a sparkler at a birthday party. You think how one little match can bring warmth whenever it lights a log fire, bringing a benefit to many that are in the room. You think about how one little match can bring light in the midst of darkness whenever there is a power cut at night time and many candles are lit just with one match. Whenever I think of many of the young people within our denomination, young people in which we are greatly blessed with, and it's a delight to see so many here this evening, I can often think that young people are a bit like a match. Perhaps you think this evening that you are insignificant. Perhaps you think that you are small and that you're not worth very much, because young people are to a dozen. There are hundreds of thousands of them in the world. But do you realize this evening that even though you are small, you can be used of God in a very significant way? For example, you can be used of God to bring joy. Mention has been made of some of the events that the Youth Council hold. And if you were to attend, for example, the likes of the Castle Well coming up here at the end of April and beginning of May, or if you were to attend the likes of the summer camp, both of which, by the way, still have spaces, you could be one that makes a friend with somebody else. And that could form a friendship that would last for a lifetime, and you could be one that brings joy and comfort to another for a lifetime. You can not merely bring joy, surely you can also bring warmth. Daniel has testified about how simply attending the Bible studies and even the outreach, learning of Christ, seeing others, it's warmed his heart. And then he can then go on to warm others. You can be used to bring warmth. You can also, of course, be used to bring light. Outreaches have been arranged for this summertime in Tavistock there in South England, as well as Convoy in County Donegal. And you could be used of God to bring light to those who know very little of Christ, or perhaps even young person, you could be used to bring light to someone who's never even heard of Christ. You may seem small, but you can be used in a very significant way by God. But the question comes, how? How? Well, you think again about a match. A match does not set itself on fire. It needs another to come and to set it alight. More than that, being set alight, the match then must give of itself again and again and again. How will you ever be used of God? First of all, you need God, as it were, to impact your life. For him, as it were, to strike you. And then you need to give yourself again and again and again to God. It may cost you time and effort and energy, but you can be used of God. And I want to ask you this evening, dear young person, are you willing this very night to say, Lord, give me a burden. Give me a desire. Strike, as it were, my heart and my life. Set me spiritually on fire. Lord, I'm willing to give my life again and again and again for you. To bring joy to somebody. To bring light to somebody. Or indeed, to learn of Christ. And some of these events that have been organized by the Youth Council, of being warmed and revived in my own heart, I may then pass that warmth on to others. Are you willing this evening to ask that God would light your heart and that you will give yourself again and again? There's two things about a match that I want to mention before I finish. A match is very, very short, and you only get one go at it. I could try and strike this again. You only get one go at it. And dear young person, whenever it comes to our lives are very short, but you only get one go at it. C.T. Studd said, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for life will last. Only what's done for Christ will last. Daniel and Alison have testified this evening of the blessings they have received at Youth Council events. Many others could be invited this evening to say the same. But something they have not mentioned, and it's because of humility, is the blessing that they have been to others. Many other young people could have been brought up here. And Daniel, Alison, and many others, I could say with my heart before God, they have been a great blessing. Way beyond themselves. They have been used to encourage those at the likes of Castlewell and other things, to encourage those that need encourage. They have been used of God to warm the hearts of others whose hearts perhaps were cold. They have been used of God to spread the light of the gospel to those that need to see that light. Every one of these young people in and of themselves are small, but yet, like a match, they're able to be used of God in a very significant way. And so this evening, as I conclude, I want to thank God for the many blessings that he has given to the Youth Council and to the young people, even over the past year. I want to thank God for the 25 to 30 young people that attended the outreaches in Belfast and in Dunmurry, telling the lost of Christ. I want to thank God for the 50 young people and leaders that attended the training weekend and training days over the throughout the past year, learning much of Christ, that they may pass Christ and his will on to others. For the 54 young people who attended Castlewellan, kept me and a few other leaders up to the wee hours of the morning, learning and asking questions about Christ and his will for them. For the 72 young people, I want to thank God, who attended the summer camp and made it to be a truly blessed time of fellowship. I want to thank God for the 90 to 100 young people that have attended the Bible studies on every single occasion, every other month and time the Bible studies are on. I want to thank God for the 300 people that attended National Rally here in September and lifted our voices together to praise the one true and the living God. And I want to thank God for the hundreds of young people who over the past year have attended 14 different evenings of prayer to cry that God would move in our land and in our nation. I want to thank God for the many blessings he's given to this denomination. I want to thank God for the young people, for every one of you that's attended the events. Not merely that you would be blessed, but that you would be a blessing. To bring joy, warmth, and light, and to be used of God. I want to thank every parent that supported and every friend of the Youth Council that's prayed for the work and supported it. I'd encourage you. Reverend Brown has a slide of all the different details, and he's going to put it up at the very end, at the very end of the service. And you can see these events that are coming up just in a few weeks' time. Encourage parents and young people to keep your eyes on the Facebook page. Keep your eyes on the website. See what events you can go on to give your life to serve God in. May I just mention, while I thank God and I thank the young people, I thank the parents and supporters, yet young people, I want to ask you, are you willing? Are you willing to simply be a match for Christ? That you may not merely receive blessing through these events, but that you will be a blessing. In James chapter 4, we read, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Amen.
Well, I must say that was encouraging, in fact, refreshing, and in many ways inspiring. And it is lovely to see young people. We thank Alison and Daniel. I'm glad to see my son-in-law out of the pulpit, because he's the only fella ever to come in here and strike a match. Paper all around. I'd be careful if I were you. There's still more matches in the box. I'm glad he's a good distance away, but no, that was a very good illustration and a very good report, and we do have good young people, in fact, great young people in the Free Church, and I would encourage all older to pray for them, pray them through, pray them along, and may the Lord do something wonderful in our country by harnessing all of the energy of our young people. We're going to sing another hymn, an Easter medley. This could be interesting, but it'll be only as interesting as you make it. We have a number of things going on here, and it begins with, he bound the hand of Jesus in the garden when he prayed. The chorus comes in, he could have called 10,000 angels. Then we have a second verse, no chorus after the second verse. We go right into a third verse. Then we have a chorus coming in. Again, he could have called 10,000 angels. And then, if nobody else sings this, I know Charlotte will be able to, because this is part of the Londonderry Air, the second half of it. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. He could have called 10,000 angels, comes in again. And then, finishing off, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. We have had tremendous singing so far. Let's not ruin it. It will be flowing nicely. Yes, it will. But that's over to you to make sure it does. So let's stand. It's a great Easter compilation, I believe, that brings us right to the cross. And that's where we want to be in memory tonight. They bind the hand of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. Let's stand together as we sound it out.
Amen.
you can all give yourselves credit. Sounded very well. That was the first time for virtually everybody. So I am impressed. I'm nearly tempted to do it again, but we don't have time. So we have to keep moving on the program tonight. When I come to the missionary section, we have a couple of missionary, we have a couple of missionary videos. Noreen McAfee, representing the work in Uganda, was to have been here, but has taken ill. And there will be a video played very shortly from her. Mr. Maxwell, Colin Maxwell, is here. He's always out and about. Never know when you're going to see him or where you will find him. I was strolling down through Lisburn one day and he came from the opposite direction and was about to engage in some open-air ministry with her brother Noel. I was going to say, almost going to say, he's kind of on the run, but that has connotations that wouldn't really be too healthy. But he's still serving the Lord these many years later, and that is a thrill to our hearts to witness. Then there's another video, and that'll be a resume of a lot of the work that the Mission Board has spearheaded and maintained over the years. So we're having that second video. That'll be an overview of the work. So first of all, Uganda video, then our brother Maxwell, and then after him, a second video.
I suppose it's mixed feelings coming home for this deputation. In some ways, it would have been lovely just to stay on the field, but I realise there's the need to present the work to the people at home. It has been a very unusual term, probably one of the most difficult, really, since I went to the mission field because of COVID. Because of children not being in school, because of workers coming and going. But the Lord has been good, and he has undertaken, and he's blessed in so many ways and done far more than really I could have imagined in that space of time. And it's all the Lord's doing. It's the prayers of God's people, it's the giving of God's people. And it's also the contribution of my colleagues and the people who have visited us on the field. Personally, you cope with it by, first of all, taking it to the Lord. And generally, that has been my response. I don't probably share much with people at home. You just look to the Lord, and the Lord has carried me through and helped me. The highlight of the last term was definitely the VBS, the Vocational Bible School. Having the team from the home church, just having all the activity on site, how much the children and the young people enjoyed it, and best of all, the number who came to know Christ, that really was way beyond our expectations. And the Lord just moved in a way that I've never seen before, either at home or in Kenya or anywhere I've been. And that really was an amazing thing. It is Emmanuel Christian School. And it is our prayer that we wouldn't just be Christian in name only, as opposed to Muslim, Roman Catholic, or something else that's there on the ground. But we desire that Christ would be exalted in everything, every day, there on that compound. So whether we're doing sports or whether we're teaching mathematics or whether it's history or really whatever we're doing, and it's our desire that Christ would be exalted and that the children would not just see it as this is just education and that the Bible is separate, but that really it is a part of everything that we do. Again, the Lord has given me a tremendous peace, really, there. And in spite of difficulties, or in spite of lockdown, in spite of changes in personnel, or any other thing, really, that has come across, I know in my heart that that's where the Lord wants me to be. And that keeps you grounded, keeps you settled. I know sometimes people talk about that poor wee girl that went to Africa, you know, as if it was this terrible sacrifice that you went away to this horrible place and did this very hard work, but I never see it like that. I just always think of the tremendous opportunity and privilege that it is to serve the Lord anywhere. But even to go to a place like that and to serve the Lord, I never feel discontent. You know, I often think of that verse, godliness with contentment is great gain. And I'm content where I am because it's where the Lord has put me. And there's no better place than where the Lord wants us to be.
Well, I'd like to thank again those that have asked me to take part tonight. It's delighted to see the church so well full as well. Our brother's already mentioned the joy of getting back together again. And I appreciate the opportunity of just bringing a little report of how things have been working out in recent times. And to thank all who have supported me in the work of the Lord and have done so for many, many years. And this is never something that I take for granted. I realise that we need to look continually to the Lord. A verse that came to my mind today when I was just scratching down, as it were, some notes was the words that are found in Matthew 21 and the verse 28. It says, "But what think ye?" So these are challenging words. "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard.'" There's an old saying, and it's generally true, as one door closes, another door opens. And this was certainly true, and I'm glad Noreen was the first to mention COVID tonight. But that was certainly true when COVID came in March 2020. There were some doors closed, at least temporarily, and might well and hopefully will open again. But as those doors were closing, then our doors were opening. And one of the more surprising developments that I certainly could not have foreseen was how the Lord opened a door for me to work along with our brother Noel Shields. I wasn't able to get to my field of labour because at one time it would have been actually illegal for me to have crossed over the border, and I could have been fined for crossing over the border. And Noel was in a similar situation because his work was doing missions around different halls, Orange Halls and so on. And these halls were closed down. Remember, the whole of Ulster went into a kind of lockdown. But nevertheless, we were both in the one vineyard. We were moving in different places within the vineyard. And I believe that when we look back, and so often you see more when you look back, how the Lord was bringing us together. I notice in the parable that I have referred to, and without pressing, of course, the parable too much for obvious reasons, but this man had two sons, and he wanted them both to work in the vineyard. When the Lord sent out his people, the apostles in Luke 10, he sent them out two by two. And there's always room when you're with another to be encouraged and to be a blessing and an encouragement. And I feel that I can honestly say that we're working together very well together. We get on well together. And our work has divided into three kinds of evangelism. When all the halls were closed, indeed for a while when churches were closed, we went on some open-air work. As long as the shops were open, in a lot of the major towns, we were able to get some open-air equipment together. And we went, as we're still doing, preaching in many of the towns. Lisburn has already been mentioned, and we've done quite a number of a little bit of a circuit opening up and preaching the Word of God. Then, when we came into the summer months again, a little bit, or into the late spring, we were able to have some drive-in missions. And again, that was keeping in line with a lot of the restrictions that there were. People could sit in their cars and so on. And we had a number of drive-in missions at which some souls, for which we thank God, some souls were saved. And then we were able, again, as the restrictions again have been lifted, to have some indoor missions as well. And usually these missions are preceded by some door-to-door evangelism in the area, letting people know that these meetings are on and seeking to engage people in conversation on their doorsteps and to get a good witness there. We've just finished a mission recently there in Newcastle, County Down. We got use of the primary school, ran for 2 weeks, and there are many of the doors. We didn't get round all the doors in Newcastle, but many of the doors in Newcastle were knocked and people engaged and spoken to. And the plan is after next week being Easter week, of course, the week after that, we will be knocking doors again in the Shankill Road. The Shankill Road has certainly been well evangelised with young and old alike. And we'll be knocking doors in the Shankill Road. We have 2,000 invites to go round in all these loyalist estates, and then having a 2-week gospel mission. So we're looking forward to that, and we're praying that souls will come to Christ. Now, Noel and I will part company, as we did last year, not because we've fallen out, but we're going to part company again over the summer. And even with the dread COVID, restrictions did lift a little bit during the summer months, and I will be heading back over the border again. There's been a recent development in the work, a new provision. Way back in 2010, the Mission Board purchased a small camper van that I was able to use and go deep into the south of Ireland and be able to stay overnight in it. Well, the old camper van has had its day. It ran into the ground. I was advised, don't even put it in for MOT. Save yourself £30. And I understand that was a wise decision. It just was falling apart where it didn't need to fall apart. So the board have very kindly replaced this with a people carrier, and it'll be invaluable, and I'm using that word very carefully, it'll be invaluable again for the work of God when we cross over the border, because I go a lot down to Knock Shrine, and I'm able to just to sit outside the shrine on the public street. I'm praying that this year there'll be no traffic restrictions. There hasn't been up to now. I'm dreading the sight of double yellow lines appearing, because I'm able to park there all day, no cost, no restrictions whatsoever, 2 hours on, 2 hours off. That would be havoc but I'm able to be there. Have a little bit of a literature display, the side will open up. Discreet one way, but effective in another. And it's great to see priests and nuns coming along. You're obviously there for the shrine and a lot of the pilgrims, and to have a lot of different conversations with the people. Times there have been priests were in the old van, maybe the rain come on, and I said, look, you're going to have to come in. And invariably, when you get in that situation, you're going to have a rerun of the Diet of Worms and all the debates and so on. But the secret, of course, is even in controversy, even in debate and discussion, first of all, it makes sure it doesn't get heated in any way, and it hasn't done so. But to get the truth across, we preach Christ crucified, the one sacrifice for sins forever, the freeness of the gift of God's salvation, without works, without money, and without price. We also hope to return to Dublin again. I'm involved in evangelism with some men down there who preach regularly, two or three times a week, maybe more, just opposite the GPO on O'Connell Street. Different type of work to Knox Shrine. You can never have an opener at Knox Shrine. It just would not be tolerated. But certainly in O'Connell Street. There's much confusion in Dublin in recent times, for those that maybe have been watching Facebook and so on. But nevertheless, there were confusion in the days of the Acts as well. There's always confusion in a world that is away from God. And the secret, of course, is just to go down, upraise the standard of the cross, the old bloodstain, that banner of the cross, and preach Christ and Him crucified. And it might be a good point to just to bring as a close my message now to say, of course, that there is a wider work going on in the Republic of Ireland to consider Christ. We have two churches down there, don't forget, Corrigarry, and also in Convoy, the work of Consider Christ, the Ploughing Championships, again, first time in 2 years we'll be able to gather at that. So there's a number of works going on, and pray much that the Republic of Ireland will open its heart to the Saviour. It's opened its heart to a whole lot of different things. Got away from Romanism, but it hasn't embraced anything wholesome. So please pray for the preaching and the proclamation of the gospel. So thank you very much again.
These past 2 years have been difficult in the service of Christ due to the worldwide pandemic. COVID-19 brought vast disruptions and changes to every aspect of life across the nations, the world of business, politics, education, society, family, and not least the work of God at home and abroad. However, God, in merciful providence, opened many doors of opportunity. Despite all the hindrances, lockdowns, closures, and distancing, we had to look at the alternatives, for the work of God must go on, and the gospel must be preached. As we meet again for our Easter convention, face to face for the first time in 2 years, it is good to reflect on how the Lord has led and blessed both on the home and foreign field. At home, the work of our children's evangelist has developed significantly. Faced with school and church closures, the existing work among the boys and girls was not able to continue as normal. We rejoice in the development of our online children's ministry under FPC Kids. Inside a few short weeks, the team of Robert, Joyce and Christina were able to create a series of video messages called Bible Corner, which were then streamed weekly. This led to our online holiday Bible clubs and a series of school assembly messages. It is so encouraging to record that this service was a blessing to so many children across our churches, and to know that young souls were saved as a result. We pay tribute to the excellent work of our children's evangelists. Our home evangelist under the board, the though furloughed for a time, soon found avenues of service. They adapted their work to the circumstances and restrictions. Colin Maxwell and Noel Shields worked together to develop opportunities for drive-in missions and plan carefully for open-air outreach to suit the conditions at that time. Again, we rejoice in the way that the Lord blessed this work and kept his word on the streets of our towns and cities. The Lord was pleased to own these special efforts, and we have learned of souls trusting in Christ. Here in Northern Ireland during lockdown days, technology played a major part in our ongoing ministry. That was replicated across the various fields of service where we have churches and a missionary endeavour, from Europe to Africa, to Asia, to Australia, to North America, right across so many countries. We were able to maintain a witness in the preaching of the gospel and the teaching of God's word. The work of the Missionary Council was able to continue, although it did take us a few weeks to get accustomed to the challenges of Zoom. Through this platform, we were also able to continue with the work of the Mission Board and its subcommittees, and also to convene times of prayer with the entire missionary team from all parts of the globe. The annual Easter services were adjusted to an online format with reports from all of our mission fields, and we are grateful for access to Sermon Audio, Facebook Live and YouTube that allowed us to continue with these services. We thank you, our supporters, for your faithfulness during the past 2 years where our work continued to receive the same high level of practical and prayerful support. We especially thank you for your generosity to the emergency aid appeal. The hardships caused by the virus were undoubtedly felt on the mission field, especially in developing countries. The fund was launched very promptly in 2020 to raise finance to support our church members and community families across all the areas where we have a missionary work. Over the following 18 months, we were able to distribute over £220,000 to help those in need as a result of the global pandemic. It was tremendous to see the videos and photographs from all across our fields of service of hundreds of people being helped, even in the most remote areas. From the churches in Spain, where COVID had an impact at the start, to the African mission field in Liberia, where the church members were helped greatly by the aid. In Uganda, we were enabled to provide aid to the families in the village community around the Emmanuel Christian School, which included the families of the children who attended the school. We were also able to provide food packages in Kenya for those connected to our church families in a great time of need, and supply food aid for the Christian Academy. In Nepal, the impact of the virus was quite extreme, and sadly we lost some church members to COVID and other illnesses. In this area, an extra effort was made to provide food packages across the group of over 100 churches, which presented some transport challenges. In Nepal alone, over 900 families received aid. It was a massive undertaking. Across other parts of Asia, we were able to support many families. With the funds raised from the 100 Days of Lockdown book, we provided food packages for many orphan children in India regularly. The Lord also opened new doors for us during the past 2 years. We have been labouring alongside our sister Free Presbyterian Church in Nepal for many years, seeking to support the Reverend Paul Thapa, his pastors, churches, and the precious children's home, and of course our own missionary who labours there. A few months ago, Brother Paul contacted us about another door which had been opened in a remote village. 8 people had been converted through the preaching of one of the pastors. We sent financial help toward the building of a church structure which is almost completed. There are many other families in the village to be reached, and Paul has asked if we would pray for the conversion of the entire village. This is a great vision. In India, our Bible College student has also been very busy. The gospel has been preached and pastors and leaders instructed and encouraged. Conferences have been held to strengthen men and women in the work of the Lord. By the grace of God, we have been able to financially support the education of 40 children at Grace Academy in Pakistan and 90 children in the Carmichael School, situated in a remote tribal area of Pakistan. We have supported the rental rooms to allow church meetings to take place indoors. Through the generous donations of God's people, we have purchased Bibles for distribution, and by the grace of God, we have encouraged outreach and evangelism in remote, deprived, and unreached areas. We have also conducted conferences and supported a Sunday school ministry. During Christmas time, I had the opportunity to share the message of the gospel in many places, including some very remote tribal areas where Hinduism is so prevalent. I heard of four ladies at one meeting trusting in Christ, and in another place of three families who profess faith. We want to see this multiplied over and over again. We have contacts in the Philippines who we are helping, supporting and training for gospel ministry. During the past year, we have assisted with practical support in a typhoon crisis and throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. There is an area where 20 families from a Roman Catholic background are assembling to hear the word of God preached. We pray that the entrance of God's word will give light. Will you pray for the vast continent of Asia? Will you ask God to bless these openings and opportunities, that he will be pleased to build his church in these nations, calling out a people unto himself? We are so privileged as a very small denomination to be entrusted with such a great gospel enterprise. In Uganda, it was a struggle for our sister Noreen to maintain the education of her children in lockdown conditions. However, Noreen rose excellently to the challenge. She and her staff prepared the necessary packages and sent them out week by week to the families of Emmanuel. The school has recently reopened and the children are now physically back in class. As things start to return to normal, we are glad to see curfews lifted and churches opened again for the preaching of the Word of God. To see the school in Uganda reopened for the children there, to see outreach efforts in many of our mission fields opened again, to see travel restart, to allow vital projects to be completed, such as the completion of the electrical project in Uganda, and men travel to fill empty pulpits. The children's work is back to church meetings, and we look forward to holiday Bible clubs this summer. We also pray that the doors of the schools will continue to open again. All in all, the Lord has sustained and blessed during this time, and we look forward with anticipation to revitalize our missionary plans, starting with the Mission Vision Conference commencing on the 7th of May this year. May the Lord challenge our hearts to redouble our efforts and to serve him in whatever way that we can. I can think of no greater exhortation to finish with than the words of our blessed Saviour as he stood with his disciples at Jacob's well outside the city of Sychar. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest.
Of our denomination on the mission field. I'm going to ask Charlotte to come and sing again now our final piece. Very glad to have our moderator with us as well, Reverend John Armstrong, and he will, after Charlotte sings, be making some announcements.
Thank you very much indeed, Charlotte. Our church is blessed by having many good musicians, wonderful singers, and certainly Charlotte fits into that category. And we always enjoy her ministry and song, and we trust that the Lord will bless her and bless the messages that she's brought to us tonight in this meeting. I'd like to, on behalf of the Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church, welcome everybody to the meeting this Friday evening. I want to thank you for coming, and it's a great encouragement to see the building well filled. And we trust indeed that as we meet together and look forward to the preaching of the Word of God, that the Lord will come and visit our hearts. If I may also address those watching online from whatever part of the world you're joining us from, we bring you greetings from this meeting tonight. It's our prayer that whether you're in the building then or attending on the internet, that what you hear and see tonight will be a blessing to your soul. The meeting already has been a blessing to our hearts, an enjoyable meeting indeed. And even though I was a little bit concerned whenever I heard that the prices in Poundland are going through the roof, yet our hearts have been uplifted and blessed by what we have enjoyed so far in this service. I'd like to pass on our appreciation to the minister, the Reverend Brown, and to the session and the committee of Martyrs Memorial Free Presbyterian Church for making the building available to the presbytery and therefore hosting this meeting tonight and again on Monday evening. And could I thank all those who have worked behind the scenes to prepare for the meeting this evening, those who produced videos, etc., and who have helped, and we appreciate your labour and we trust that the Lord will bless you. Traditionally, of course, our Easter Convention services have been held in the Martyrs' Church, and we're glad that we've been able, as has already been said, to return to visiting the church here, and we're delighted to have the opportunity to meet in person once again. Could I make mention of the offerings and of the fact that, generally speaking, the offerings after expenses have been taken from them go to the works that are represented in the meetings, and that's the case this year. You'll find receptacles at the doors as you leave, either a wooden box or a basket at the door, and please remember then the offering as you exit the building tonight, and give as you can to the offering. Could I make mention of the fact that the convention services continue on Monday evening at 7 o'clock? Please take a note of the time. Traditionally, again, the Monday evening meeting has been at 7, and even though it's the only meeting on Monday, we're sticking to that time, and there'll be various reports and testimonies given concerning the Lord's work at home and abroad. Mention will also be made of the prison ministry. They'll be singing by the Greer Brothers. I have to preach. That's one of the aspects of being a moderator. I said in Dungannon on Sunday that I'm hoping to get that changed. It's too late for this year, but maybe for next year, again, you'll have someone that you're able to look forward to on the Monday. But that's how it is as far as this year is concerned. Could I also highlight that anyone coming with children on Monday, a kids' club will be held, and we appreciate those who will be conducting that club during the service. Hopefully, the children will be able to join with us at the end of the meeting and help us to bring it to a successful conclusion. So please plan to attend on Monday. Maybe you're going away for the day, but take a diversion through Belfast and visit Martyrs on your way home. Come for 7 o'clock, please, and we trust that the building will be again filled on Monday evening for that service. We need to see the Lord move and work in our province, in our land, in our denomination, in our congregations, and in our hearts. And so we trust indeed that that will be the case, and that the Lord will visit us graciously in days to come. A couple of other announcements have been asked to make. Consider Christ Outreach will be held on Saturday the 23rd of April, going to County Cavan. And if you can attend and you require further details, if you contact either Reverend James Porter or the Reverend Jonathan Crane, they'll be able to fill you in the details that you may require. Also, envelopes are being distributed with invitations to the Mission Vision that has already been mentioned. And there'll be someone distributing those envelopes with the invitations at the door as you leave. So please look out for that if you haven't already received your invitations for your church. And then finally, Sunday evening in Martyrs is the youth rally, 8:45 p.m. The preacher will be the Reverend Roger Higginson from Lisburn, and we trust that our young people who are free will be able to come along to that meeting. 8:45 on Sunday evening. The one bit of advice I got coming to the pulpit tonight was, don't put them to sleep during the announcements. I hope you're still all awake, and that our brother here, Mr. Brown, has no bother getting you stirred up again for the preaching and in preparation for the preaching. So thank you very much for being here. May the Lord bless you indeed. Thank you.
Well, it has nothing to do with the announcements, but I was about to say, because I was scanning the congregation there thinking, I see eyes glazing over. And we don't want to introduce our brother Harris to people semi-sleeping already. And I don't want to prolong his entrance either. But of course, he is going to take some advice from Daniel tonight. And when he comes up here to preach, he's going to pretend he's in the open air. Well, that'll be rich coming from me, so I'll not push that one at all. We are going to stand and we'll sing just two verses out of a 5-verse hymn. We'll only sing the first two, and that will get us to change our position and to liven up and be ready for the preaching of God's Word, the most vital part of the meeting. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess Him, King of glory now. Let's really sound this out, please. pleased tonight to have the chairman of the Mission Board, Reverend Ian Harris, and he's now going to preach the Word of God to us. Thank you.
Would you turn with me, please, in the Word of God to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. It is lovely to see so many gathered out at the recommencement of the Easter Convention meetings once again here in the Martyrs' Memorial. Lovely to see so many congregations here represented so well and ministers as well. And we are encouraged by your presence with us tonight. I've enjoyed the reports from the Youth Council members and, of course, our brother Foster brought strange fire into the pulpit. Now, boys and girls, don't try that at home. If you're playing church, don't, mummy, daddy, take away the matches. But it's lovely to hear the young people and the reports from the Youth Council. Very dear to my own heart and all of the missionary report. I'm not going to go over any of it except just to say thank you on behalf of the Mission Board for all of your work and all of your support over these past 2 years, which have been very difficult years for us all in the Mission Board and in our congregations. Our brother Daniel read our passage tonight for me, but I'm going to read it again. Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And amen. We know that the Lord will bless this, the public reading of his own word this evening. Let's unite our hearts in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for all that has gone before already in the service this evening. We thank thee for the good reports from the Youth Council. And we pray you'll bless the work of the Reverend Foster and the work of the committee and of the delegates. And we pray that thou, the Spirit of God, will move wondrously amongst the youth of our denomination. We pray again for all of our missionary endeavours. We thank thee, Lord, for so many places represented even in the reports this evening. And we pray that even those that are listening in tonight from distant parts, that they might know something of the blessing of God and the presence of God that we enjoy here in this meeting, even where they are. And now as we come around the Word of God, we pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. We thank thee that when Jesus ascended, the Spirit descended. And we pray for that fresh anointing and that fresh outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord in our gathering tonight. So, Lord, lead us, guide us, direct us, and bless us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Our short scripture reading tonight, it brings us to one of the most important pre-arranged meetings in the history of the Christian Church. It was to be one of huge significance. Prior to his crucifixion in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, the Lord Jesus had told the disciples, they didn't fully understand it, but as he would come up to his death, he said to them, I'm going to meet you again. He was going to be taken from them by force. He was going to be crucified, but this was the word that he gave them before he was taken from them. I'm going to meet you again, and I'll meet you in Galilee. There were so many events happened on that resurrection morning. Remember how the Lord Jesus appeared to the woman in Matthew 28 and verse 10. He wanted to remind the disciples again. He wanted to meet them. And he told the women, go and tell the disciples, I want to meet them in Galilee. And here we have recorded in verse 16, even a little detail I think is really wonderful. It's even more specific here. He mentions a mountain that he had appointed to meet them on. And that mountain meeting place, it was in stark contrast, wasn't it, to the very busy, crowded scenes of Jerusalem and the streets of Jerusalem that they had experienced just prior to the crucifixion. And there in that quiet, beautiful scenery beside Blue Galilee, on that appointed mountainside, the risen Lord met with that appointed apostolic band. There's something we learn very important there. Because it was in this secret place, in this trysting place, that the charter of all of the Christian church was delivered. And that teaches you and I, men and women tonight, never miss out on the secret place with God. You'll never know what God is going to say to you and through you if you miss out on that secret trysting place. The response of the disciples to the sight of the risen Saviour is very revealing. They fell down in homage and in worship. Some of them were told doubted. Could it be that they couldn't see him clear enough? Could it be that their faith was not strong enough? But whatever the case was, when Jesus drew near and when he started to speak to them, it's never mentioned again. Because when Jesus is near, everything else passes aside. And now they could see him, and now they could hear him clearly. They listened intently to what he had to say to them. Verse 18 to verse 20 is our text for this evening. This was Christ's sovereign directive to that apostolic band and to all who have followed them since. And it comes right down to this meeting here in the martyrs this evening, because here we have one of the great commissioning texts of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it reminds us, as part of the visible professing church of Christ, once again, of the charter laws under which we operate. We always hear people say, you know, why do you not have that in church? And why do you not have this in church? And why do you not do that? And why do you not do the other? And I always answer just the same way, because we're not allowed to. And why are we not allowed to? Because the Master doesn't permit it. We have no legitimacy, brethren and sisters, functioning outside the parameters that Christ has left for us as a church. Over the past 2 years, I think with COVID, there has been a disconnect. There has been a disconnect between people. There has been a disconnect between congregations. There has been a disconnect between church and mission. And sometimes people look at those videos, and whilst we thank God for them because they bring the foreign field right into our own living room, sometimes we think it's all done remotely. It's done by a few people in a foreign land, or we're just justifying ourselves by sending some support to a foreign land. But that's not how the Lord Jesus would have it. The church is mission. And mission is the church. And a church that's not on a mission is not a church. And so tonight I just want to come back again to this pivotal passage in Matthew's Gospel chapter 28, because here we learn again the reason for our very existence. Our existence is not to keep buildings. Our existence is not to keep funds or programs, nothing like that. Our existence is to obey what the Lord Jesus has given us to do, this great charter. We have to reconnect. We have to reconnect one with the other. That's why it's good to come together in person and to meet one with the other. It's as if we've missed out on 2 years somewhat in the great calendar and scheme of things. We have to reconnect one with the other, but we have to recommit and reconnect with mission. And mission is not just for abroad. Mission is also for the home front. I don't want you to think tonight when we're talking about mission, it is somewhere in Asia, it is somewhere in Africa, it is somewhere in South America or in Australia. Mission is where you live. It's where I live. We're all called to mission. These words of the Great Commission, they're just as applicable to you and I as they were the day Christ spoke them on the mountainside of Galilee. Denominationally and locally, we should never lose sight of the charter that Christ has given us to fulfill. What's our function in the world, brethren and sisters? Maybe we're meeting here, and maybe some young Christians in the meeting, and you're thinking, well, what is the point and function even of being here tonight? Just to see all these nice people, just to meet in fellowship, just to meet one with the other. It's much more than that. It's to recommit ourselves to the charter that Christ has given to us as a church as we recommence the Easter Convention meetings again after the break of COVID, the in-person meetings. Let's not just reconnect with mission, let's recommit to it. So firstly, I want you to notice that this charter is based upon the conquest of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came forth and he met the disciples that day as the conqueror of the grave and of the tomb. Of course, these disciples had already met him. Remember how in John's Gospel they hid. They were behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. And they were so timid and they were so afraid. And although they locked others out, they couldn't keep Jesus out because Jesus came and stood in the midst. What a meeting place that was. And there he commissioned them. And there he promised them the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to do the work and the will of the Master. They were not going to do it in their own might or in their own strength. As something we learn right at the outset this evening, as we seek to recommit ourselves to the Great Commission, we'll not do it in our own power or in our own might or in our own strength. We'll only do it in the strength of the Spirit of God. And how we need that power amongst us once again. Jesus came and he said to them, all power is given unto me. This is the first all in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. And what amazing truth is here affirmed by the risen Lord. What an embracing statement. He came and he said to those just lowly group of fishermen from Galilee, they're meeting in a secret place up that mountainside in Galilee, and he said, all power is mine. What a statement. This was one of the most important statements that Jesus ever gave to the disciples. He was telling them, this was a gift, this was a reward for his work as mediator. He had been endowed with authority. He had been endowed with all power. We'll never understand this unless we understand something, at least, about the prophetical scriptures in the Old Testament. The Great Commission is bedded in the Old Testament. We can't divorce the two. In Psalm 2, verse 6, we read, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Brethren and sisters, Jesus is reigning. All power is given unto him. He is the king on Zion's hill. Psalm 110, the most quoted psalm in the New Testament. It says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. What's the Lord doing? He's reigning, he's ruling. He's reigning and ruling in Zion. He's making his enemies to be his very footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Of course, as divine, for he was divine. He was the eternal Son of God. originally all power was his, but now as the God-man, as the mediator, the one who was going to ascend, all power was given unto him. All power was given unto him. There was no limitations. Why? Well, Matthew Henry sums it up better than I could ever do. He said, partly in recompense of his work, because he humbled himself, therefore God exalted him. And partly in pursuance of his design, for he had given him power over all flesh, that he might give eternal life to as many as the Father had given him. And what's he doing today? He's giving eternal life to as many as the Father had given to him right throughout the world. The risen Christ is invested with unrestricted authority. We have many mighty men in this world, and they're flexing their muscles even tonight as we're sitting here in the comfort of the martyrs. But their power is restricted. But Christ has no restriction on his powers. His dominion is without limitation. In heaven and in earth, this is the reward of his labors that he accomplished as the mediatorial king. He stood in front of those lowly disciples and they didn't appreciate all that was happening that day. This was going to happen later, and we see it even in their writings. But as he stood before them that day, he stood before them as the universal sovereign king. And he stands before this meeting tonight as the universal sovereign king. He's not some little Jesus that the world has dreamt up of. He is the all-powerful ruling Lord. And he comes. And with that authority, he authorizes us to go forth in his name. In the New Testament, that church in this early apostolic days had faced wave after wave of persecution. Thousands and thousands of Christians were put to death. And when they were asked, well, why are you a Christian? It would be so easy just to bow to Caesar and say Caesar is Lord. They always answered the same thing. They said, the Lord is risen. And he is risen. And brethren and sisters, easy to sing, he is risen from the dead and he is Lord, until the Lord asks you to do something difficult. Until you're put in some tight situation. But then, more than ever, we come back to this wonderful premise here that precedes everything in this commissioning text in Matthew 28. The all authority, the all power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, notice in this charter the command that's given to the church. In light of that, Jesus said, go ye therefore. These are our marching orders. These are our instructions. The therefore, of course, is the reference to the all-conquering Christ. In the light of the fact that he's the all-conquering Lord with all authority, with all power, the apostles and those who are following to the end, they have been commanded to go. To go. That's a wonderful statement in and of itself. We have a lot of sedentary Christians, not because they're not able to go, just because they don't see the need to go or they won't go. But the Lord wants you and I to rise from our sedentary positions. He wants us to be active. He wants us to be busy. He wants us to go. This is the second great all in this commissioning text in Matthew chapter 28. Where are we to go? To all nations. That's significant. The Jews were used to thinking in terms of God's relationship with one nation, Israel. Indeed, they had been instructed by the Savior when they were sent out to focus their ministry upon the lost sheep of the house of Israel. One nation. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 6. And now in contrast, the Lord Jesus, he lifted their sights. And this was a challenge to these men. They were devout Jews. And now they were challenged. You're to lift your sight. It's not only Israel, it's every nation. That was a shock to the system. They would have to adapt. If they were going to go across the borders, they would have to adapt. No longer could they go into Samaria, and because they just weren't allowed to go through a village, call fire down upon it. No, they had to go now and preach the gospel in Samaria. No longer could they avoid, as it were, contamination with the Gentiles, those Jewish people before, even if they rubbed shoulders with a Gentile, they would have been defiled. That was all gone now. They had to adapt. They'd have to adapt to different countries. They'd have to adapt to different cultures. Sometimes we find that a real battle. We go out from Northern Ireland and we think everybody should talk like us, dress like us, act like us. But we're just one little tiny dot. An important little tiny dot, but just a little dot amongst the nations of the world. We have to adapt. We have to adapt not just to the cultures, to the cuisine. Whatever's put down in front of you, Jesus said, you better eat it. That'd be a problem for some people, wouldn't it? It was often a problem for me, I'll have to admit it. And we have to adapt to the colours. Oh, we thank God for all the different nationalities, all the different colours. And God doesn't look at colours, God looks at the heart. We have to adapt. I love the way how Paul adapted. He was the most orthodox of all. And I was looking at that little text this afternoon, 1 Corinthians 9:22. He said, I am made all things to all men. Now, he didn't, as it were, mix the message to suit all men. That's not what's meant there at all. It was one message. But he adapted himself that I might by all means save some. It was always in the plan of God that the nations would be reached. We haven't time to trace it back. You can go back to Genesis 3, verse 15. You can go to Genesis 12, verse 3, where God said to Abraham in that great covenant that he made with him that the nations of the world were going to be blessed through him. It was always in the plan of God. Even we see in Matthew's gospel, where did the wise men come from? They didn't come from Jerusalem. They came from the east, those Gentile wise men. And they came and they presented their gifts to the infant Savior. And were they turned away because they were foreigners? No, they were not. Those gifts were accepted and their worship was accepted. How open are we, men and women? The gospel transcends all boundaries. It transcends all borders. It transcends all ethnic groups, and it reaches to every nation, all nations. That's our mandate. That's our charter. And God's plan, the good news was going to spread. It would spread from Jerusalem, Acts 1 and verse 8. It would go to Judea. It would go to Samaria. It would go to the uttermost parts. Not everybody got into Samaria. Some just stayed in Jerusalem. The ones that were in Samaria, perhaps they never went any further. But they took up the message of the cross of the Lord Jesus, and they ensured that their generation took it just that step further. The all nations. Oftentimes we put out the invitations and we expect people to come. We expect people to come to us. And in that subculture of evangelicalism here in Northern Ireland, we just, in our thinking, we think automatically people should just come to us. And then when they don't come, we're a wee bit annoyed. Why didn't they come? Well, sometimes we're a big bit annoyed. But Jesus didn't say, you wait till they come. Jesus said, you go. You go. It's lovely. I saw on Facebook these young people out on the Youth Council outreach. It's just so heartening and encouraging to see it. We need much more of that. We need local churches that are on the go. Going with the gospel. We need to get that back into our thinking. We are meant to be a going, sending church. We're not meant to be a keeping church. And of course, the outworking of this command is seen in how those same apostles on the hillside of Galilee. We're going to outwork it later on in their thinking. And if you want to know that, just you turn it home to Acts chapter 13, how those first missionaries of the cross were sent out from the church at Antioch. We read of those men as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Jesus sent the apostles. The apostles, in turn, sent others to the furthest regions with the message of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. They went. The ones who had come to the church, they didn't stay there. They were sent from the church. They were commissioned. They were sent from the church to the nations to take the good news of the gospel of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Tell me tonight, if God was to call you, are you ready to go? I think over the years, many of us as young people have sat in those pews and we battled with that in our own heart and with our own mind. And I have no doubt there are young people in this meeting tonight, maybe even older ones, and you're battling in your heart and you're battling in your mind. I feel God is calling me, but I'm not ready to go. Well, when will you be ready to go? When will you be ready to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm here. Sent me. Tonight's the night." We are reconnecting. We're recommitting. We're rededicating ourselves to all the nations. And to do that, we need those that are prepared to go. If God calls you, will you go? Thirdly, notice the contents which make up this charter. When you go to any document, don't you always like to go to the contents page at the start? And the contents page here is very simply outlined for us. We read in verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." The verb just simply means to make disciples or to enroll as a disciples. Make disciples of all the nations. A disciple is someone who is enrolled to learn, someone who comes to learn. Remember those words of the Lord Jesus in Luke 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Those ancient rabbis, they used the word yoke to cover school. If you went to their schools, you were under their yoke. And Jesus said, "You leave off their yoke, the yoke of the Pharisees, but you take my yoke. You enroll in my school and you learn of me." To do what? To teach the nations how to be disciples. Disciples. There are so many within that broad spectrum of the evangelical church today, and they're in it for decisions. How many decisions can be got in the 1 year? What will that look like on the mission report back home? And I have seen it all and I have read it over the years. And it sounds well to people on a home basis that person over there is doing something really wonderful because they've had 100 decisions in their ministry in the past year. But we're not asked to do that. We're asked to make disciples, not get decisions. Disciples are made through the teaching of the Word of God. What will we say? What will we say? Well, if we enroll people in, what will we teach them? What knowledge will we impart to them? I'll just read to you some of those verses from Luke 24. Remember, this was just prior to the ascension, Luke 24. So Jesus, he's imparting this knowledge to them bit by bit. What were they going to say as they would go out from Jerusalem? He said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Here we have redemption story. That's all we're meant to retell. We teach the nations the story of redemption, the story of redeeming grace, that of a crucified Savior who died for sinners, who shed his blood for the remission of sin and who rose again. That's redemption. It goes further, and that repentance, that's an old-fashioned doctrine where we call sinners to repent of their sin. The first and last sermon that Jesus preached was repent. And that's the first and last message that the church should be preaching. Repent. We're not telling people, it's okay, you make your decision and continue in your sin. No, the gospel says you repent of your sin and become a disciple. And there's a world of difference in those two ideas. And those that will believe in the redeeming work of the Lamb, those that will repent of their sin, the Bible then tells us in verse 47 that they receive remission of sins. They have their sins remitted. We're singing in Anna Long on Wednesday night that lovely hymn, "Who is a pardoning God like me?" And it just came to me once again as we sang that verse. Every line of the third or fourth verse is pardon from an offended God. You can't get pardon unless your sins have been remitted. That's what we're to teach the people. That's what we're to go to the nations with. Sinners need to learn, in summary, as our old catechism says, what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. What truths need to be personally applied, savingly appropriated, and continually followed. They were to teach the word. Just the word. That's how you make disciples. In order to teach, because it's all, I think, within the understanding of this, in order to teach, you will require the Bible. And sometimes in order to teach, you will have to do translation work. We've been privileged as a board over the years to be involved in some translation work and in ensuring that those in lands that we deal with have a reliable, accurate edition, copy of the Word of God in their own vernacular tongue. That was the whole battle of the Protestant Reformation, that we give the people the Word of God in their own mother tongue. You can't teach them unless they have it in their own tongue. And we're so glad, we rejoice for thousands of Bibles that have been given out over the years, at home and in the foreign fields. Let us never lose our confidence just in the Word of God. God's Word will do God's work. We don't need anything else. In order to make disciples and to teach the Word of God, you need church organization. There are some today who believe that God is finished with the church. That's rank apostasy. Jesus loved the church. He gave himself for the church. And he's coming back for the church. The church means everything to Christ because it is his bride. But it needs organization. And on along, we've been studying through the Lord's Prayer and have been using the larger catechism. And I was looking at that question just last week. 191, what do we pray for in the second petition? Thy kingdom come. All the significance that flows from that, and part of it is the church furnished with all gospel officers and ordinances. We need workers. If the kingdom is to come, we need ministers, we need missionaries, we need elders, we need deacons, we need those that will fulfill the structure and the organization of the church. And I would ask you tonight to pray with us for that end. We need missionaries on the field. There will never be any substitute for feet on the ground. Battles are won by the infantry. And we need feet on the ground. We've been praying within the mission board that God would give us 5 new families. That doesn't seem very much, does it? But 5 new families. Would you pray that God will touch 5 families? Sometimes it requires education. We work with people, they don't know how to read. And they don't know how to write. And people need to be taught. Education has an end objective. And it always had been. We think of the history of the ragged schools, the Sunday school movement. It had an end objective. And the end objective was that the boys and girls who would come in then on the Sabbath day would be able to understand the Bible that was being taught to them. That's our end objective. and it will always require compassion. I think of those words of Paul when he was sent out. Remember how he was given the right hand of fellowship by Peter and James and John at Jerusalem, and he was sent to the Gentiles, and he was commissioned, he was given the message to preach and to teach. And they said to him, now remember the poor. As you go, remember the poor. And Paul says, the same I was eager to do, or desirous to do. I wanted to help. Now, brethren and sisters, we cannot solve every social ill. We do not have a solution to every human problem. We cannot make earth to be like heaven for those that we come into contact with. It's an impossibility. But where we can, we do help. And I think even the little DVD presentation this evening is proof and evidence of it over these past few years. But let's keep the focus. And what is the focus? The focus is on making disciples and all that flows through it. Subordinate to that is baptizing. Those who are taught and made disciples are to be baptized. Those adults being baptized would need certain instruction before their baptism. They would need to understand the basic truths of the Christian faith. It speaks of here baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This is the Trinitarian baptismal formula laid down by Christ. And we believe this ancient baptismal formula was the very foundation of the ancient creeds and confessions of the early apostolic church. Now they were going to work it all out in creedal form. Being baptized in the name, singular. And then we have the great Trinitarian nature of the Godhead revealed to us in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And individuals had to be taught what that meant. And then they were baptized. And it signified that that individual was now in vital union with God. We know, of course, it's not the water of baptism which can unite a soul with God. It's a sign, it's a seal of our engrafting into Christ, of our partaking of the benefits of the covenant of grace. But we've got to emphasize it. Those that are disciples were to be baptized. Those baptized went further because they had to be instructed more. So many times I saw it out in Kenya, people would come to be baptized and they'd be so zealous, they'd come to the baptismal classes, they'd be there for the service, and then after the baptismal service, that was it, they were done and gone. Because they thought they had arrived, they didn't need any more. But that's not what this says here at all. Because we read in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The third all in the Great Commission. What a wealth of knowledge. Is put into that one little statement. The all things. How do we tabulate that? How do we put it all together? The all things. Well, you know, we don't have to reinvent anything. We don't have to do anything new. I believe those all things have been put by the ancient church, the historic church there for us, in the creeds, in the confessions, in the catechisms of the church. To our great shame, in some instances, we think we don't need those things today. But we need them more than ever. Because they're the things that ground us. They're the things that hold us down. They're the things that put the parameters around about us. And I know on the mission board, we appreciate their value more than ever. Over the past 2 years, it was one of the greatest joys to see the little child's catechism, the prep before you get to the shorter catechism, translated into Urdu. And to know that hundreds of children in Pakistan are being taught the child's catechism in their own vernacular language. What a blessing and what a privilege. We need to be taught. The Great Commission is not just about evangelism. It's also about edification. It's about instruction. It's about building up the body and making it strong, standing for the Lord. Till we close with this one thought. The comfort that the Lord gives to us in this charter. The end of verse 21. He said to these men, he's about to depart from them, to be taken from them. He said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We can take a little license here and call this the fourth all of the Great Commission. This word, always, is just the same as always. Always, always. It means all day, every day. Very special word in the New Testament. I am with you. He promised to be with the disciples when he is gone. He said, when I'm gone, I'm going to send the Spirit of God and I will be with you. I'm not going to leave you on your own. Remember, prior to his incarnation, in Matthew 1 and 23, Joseph was told, he's going to be called Emmanuel, God with us. And now that he was going to be physically taken from them, he was still God with them. Is it any different to us tonight? He's Emmanuel. We worship him as Emmanuel. He's with us. I love that great text there in Matthew 18:20. It says, and you've heard it preached on so many times, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We don't always have these big meetings and the martyrs and large crowds, but it doesn't matter. Just the twos and the threes, Jesus said, I'm with you. There's not a meeting of the church that he's not with us. He's with us. And now in these closing breaths of Matthew 28 and verse 20, he said, I'm with you always. Always. The one who died, the one who rose again, the one who is soon to ascend in heaven and take his position at the right hand of the Father Most High, he said to his apostles, I'm going to be with you always. What does he say to those who are engaged in this great commission? Because that's the context. Don't take it out of context. If you're engaged in doing the work of the Lord, if you're engaged in reaching others with the gospel, building up the body, reaching the nations, I'm with you. I'm with you always. One old writer, he put it like this, I will be with you on Sabbath days and weekdays, fair days and foul days, winter days and summer days. There's no day, there's no hour in which our Lord is not present with his churches, his ministers, as if there were, because that day they would be all undone. Could we ever go an hour without the Lord? Could we ever survive without an hour without the Lord's presence with us? And as we recommence these meetings once again, and as we hear these reports of the young people, as we hear the missionary reports, as God challenges our hearts again tonight, he says, I'll be with you as you fulfill this great missionary charter. Perhaps God has been working in your heart, calling you, but you feel overwhelmed by the enormity of it all. And it is an enormous thing. There's an enormous thing for God to lay his hand upon a man, a woman, and say, I'm consecrating you. I am separating you for the work of God. You're mine. You're marked with the blood. You're mine forevermore. I'll send you where I want to send you. I'll do with you what I want to do with you. You're mine. You're in my hands. And we feel overwhelmed, overpowered. And yet, this is our promise individually. Jesus said to those disciples who had laid down their lives for him, I'm with you right to the very last breath. What does he say to the church collectively? He says, I'm with you. As you seek to do God's will and seek to do God's bidding, as you seek to fulfill the great charter that I've given to the church, I'm with you. I want you to leave the meeting tonight with that promise in your heart and in your life. Don't be afraid of the future. Step out with that promise into the future and trust God. He says, I'm with you every day, foul days and fair days, days of shadow, days of sunshine, and in that strength, every day, all day, you can do the work of God. Let's unite our hearts, please, in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we do praise thee for thy presence with us right through this meeting. We thank thee for the challenge of thy word. We've got substance here. We've got the inspiration of God with his go and tell. And Lord, we pray that with our young people's reports, with the missionary causes that have been showcased, that we will go and spread the word far and wide. Glorify thy name, magnify thyself in Ulster, over the border, and in all the areas that we have focused on tonight. May the name of the Lord Jesus be high and lifted up, we pray, for his glory. Amen. We're going to sing in closing, and we will cut down the number of verses again. Far, far away in heathen darkness dwelling, millions of souls forever may be lost. Who will go? Salvation storytelling, looking to Jesus, counting not the cost. We have read that, so we'll not sing the first verse. We'll begin at verse 2 and through to the end of the hymn. And I've asked Reverend James Porter if he'll come and give the benediction at the end of this. Again, we thank you for coming. And may the Lord keep you safe as you travel home. And may you know times of fellowship together. Let's stand and let's really sing it as we close.
Close with a word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight, Lord, for thy presence with us here in thy house. We thank thee, O God, for the wonderful privilege of gathering together with thy people around thy word and around the things of God. We thank thee, O God, for thy mercy. Lord, for all that has been said and done tonight, we thank thee for the reports from the young people, the missionary reports. We thank thee for the singing of the praises of Christ our Redeemer. And Father, we thank thee for the ministry of thy word and the challenge of thy word afresh to our hearts and help given to thy servant in the ministry of thy word. And Lord, bless thy word tonight to every heart, to every soul in this meeting, and all those who are listening in online, as thou would see the need, we pray. Bless every child of God here tonight. Help us as your people to rededicate our lives afresh to thy work, to thy cause, to thy kingdom, to thy gospel, we pray. And Lord, our prayer is that even as a result of this meeting tonight, and through what has been said in the ministry of thy word, that thou wilt lay thy hand, O God, upon lives, young men and women, and there might be that willingness to go and to serve the Lord, counting not the cost, O God, we pray. Father, we do pray for any tonight that even might be walking afar off from the Lord. May they know that restoring touch that comes from thee. And Lord, for any with us tonight not saved, Lord, speak to them. And Father, we pray that even tonight that they might come in faith and in repentance and trust the Lord as Savior, we pray. Remember, O God, our services on the Lord's Day in our various churches. Be your hand of blessing be upon them, we pray. Outpour thy Spirit. Remember especially the final meeting of the convention here on Monday night. Again, remember all who will take part. May they know the help and the blessing and the enablement of God, especially thy servant in the preaching of thy word. And may it be a season of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Take of our thanks for thy presence, O God. Bless our fellowship together after the meeting, and take us to our different homes in safety, we pray. For we do pray and we do ask all these things for Jesus' sake and for thine eternal glory and praise. Amen and amen.
Solid when you preach. Yeah, it's not. Piffle. Awful.